This episode, the Rogues are talking about all the news that is news from San Diego Comic-Con.
And now, from the Fortress of Solitude, deep beneath the super-secret underground bunker at World Headquarters, sci-fi4me.com presents The Rogues Gallery.
Welcome, everyone, to this episode of The Rogues Gallery, the San Diego Comic-Con edition. My name is Jason Hunt. I'm the editor at sci-fi4me.com, and we have been bringing you genre news since 2009. And it feels like just yesterday when we started all of this. Lots of stuff going on, tons of news to unpack from San Diego Comic-Con. This particular show concentrates on the DC Comics universe. And my panel of experts tonight, joining me from around the globe, from across the state near St. Louis, Catherine Sanders.
Hello.
From Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Ann Labs, and Dave Margosian.
Hello.
And in Fort Worth, Texas, Mr. Jeff Hackworth.
Howdy, howdy.
And from Kingman, Kansas, Mr. Thomas Townley.
Still here.
And
still alive.
So, Jeff, apparently out of all of us so far, we're recording this on a Friday evening, and by the time this goes to air, more than likely we will have a full weekend of box office numbers to look at. But so far, Jeff, out of all of us, is the only one who's seen Suicide Squad. So let's start there, because this week has been a mess of mess. A lot of critics looking at Suicide Squad saying, this is a hot mess. This is not very good. This feels like there's two different movies here that kind of got slammed together. And it's because Warner Brothers panicked after Batman versus Superman. Is that an accurate characterization of Suicide Squad?
In my opinion, no. I really enjoyed the movie. I felt that it was kind of like DC's Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
I give it an 8.5 out of 10. The main problem with my when I saw it was the villain kind of felt like a Justice League Dark villain instead of a Suicide Squad villain.
Well,
and so it kind of felt like the Justice League Dark needed to go up against said villain instead of the Suicide Squad.
So the Joker is not the villain, because in the animated Suicide Squad movie, the Joker plays a fairly bigger role. Than a cameo.
He's more of a supporting role in this movie.
Really,
he'll pop in and out of the movie. From okay. time to time.
All right. And then Batman figures in a little bit.
Batman is in it for about 5 minutes. There's a cameo by another hero, which I won't spoil. He's in it for about a minute or less.
He's in it pretty quick, isn't he?
Yeah. He's in it pretty quick.
Is that a hint?
No, oh, he's... what? Huh? What? No. No.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
I can go ahead and tell you who the villain is if you want me to.
Do we want? Okay, ladies and gentlemen, spoilers. We are entering into spoiler territory here. If you do not want to hear it, then just hit pause and come back to this podcast after you've seen the movie. Okay, Jeff, go ahead.
The villain is Dr. June Moon, aka the Enchantress, which is the main villain for the first few issues of Justice League Dark in the New 52.
Wait a minute, Enchantress is the villain in this thing?
Yes.
Now that makes sense, because some of the stuff that I'd been hearing was that Act 1 was Deadshot. Act 2 was shoot 'em up war movie with DC Comics villains. And then Act 3 was all Enchantress. And the criticism that I'd been reading so far was that it was so disjointed, because it didn't feel like there was a through line in all of this stuff. It didn't feel like any of this stuff was connected. It was just, yeah, throw that in, yeah, throw that in, yeah, throw that in. And the reviews, for the most part, I think are pretty much all consistent in this. I haven't seen a good review yet. Has anybody else?
No official ones. I've seen, I follow a lot of people on my blog that while they review movies, they don't do it professionally, and most of them are positive.
And Suicide Squad on Rotten Tomatoes is sitting at, what would we say, 3.9 out of 5?
Yeah.
And Batman vs. Superman, by comparison, is a 3.2?
3.4.
Okay, so go. Suicide Squad is doing better, is tracking a little bit better than Batman vs. Superman, but it's opening weekend.
The soundtrack and the score are wonderful. I had no problem with it.
No.
And I thought that the character development was really good, given you brief little flashbacks for their stories.
Okay.
They don't spend too much time on everybody, but you get a little glimpse of everybody. Just like in Guardians of the Galaxy on Marvel's side.
Yeah.
And for me, that worked. For me, I didn't have to know everything about each character.
See, I'm wondering...
They worked well together.
I'm wondering if we're getting to the point where audiences are super saturated with origin stories, that now maybe we can get away with doing more of that, like you're talking about, Jeff, with the shorthand, which basically is like, okay, we have this established character, and let's just give us glimpses into how this character got where they were. And I think we talked about this. We talked about this on 11/7, the fact that we're getting Captain Marvel finally, Carol Danvers, Captain Marvel, and allowing for the possibility, more than likely, it's going to be a straight up full on origin story for her. But given the fact that this character is brand new and not too many people outside of Marvel Comics readers know who Captain Marvel is. I mean, most of the time you hear Captain Marvel, you're thinking Shazam Captain Marvel. You're thinking Billy Batson Captain Marvel. Not Carol Danvers Captain Marvel. So wait a minute. Marvel has a Captain Marvel and DC has a Captain Marvel.
Usually, I first thing out of my mouth is, which one?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and it's complicated by what gets me is that the Fawcett Comics Captain Marvel, Billy Batson, the one that everybody knows is Billy Batson, the big red cheese.
Gee whiz.
He was the first Captain Marvel. And then Marvel Comics had their Captain Marvel, Mar-Vell.
Mar-Vell.
And... when Mar-Vell became Captain Marvel, then suddenly now we've got two Captain Marvels. And by that time, I think at some point during all of this, DC Comics had bought Fawcett. And Marvel is somehow, got the dibs on the name, on the character or something. I don't know. Because when DC Comics came back with Captain Marvel, they had to title their comic book, the issue, the monthly, Shazam, is what they're calling it in New 52.
Or the Shazam family or something like that.
Yeah, and so it's always kind of rubbed me the wrong way on that, because Billy Batson was first Captain Marvel. So, but anyway, all of that to say that we're getting a Captain Marvel movie. And that's going to be an origin story, but I think for the most part, with a lot of these other characters, especially if they've got any kind of traction in audiences so far, audiences are going to know who they are. We might not even need an origin story for some of these people, which is good.
Yay!
Tell the story.
I enjoyed seeing Harley's backstory played out well on screen. El Diablo's was pretty good.
I heard they homaged the famous Alex Ross painting.
They did. They homaged it for a few seconds.
Yeah?
And it was pretty good, yeah.
Cool. I can't wait to see that. That would be fun.
With them dancing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Except, they homaged that.
Except she wasn't in the spandex? Was she in the...
Yes.
Oh, she is. Okay. All right.
Yeah. And El Diablo's backstory was good. You understand why he is the way he is for the most part. And Deadshot's backstory was really good too. And those are the main three that you get most of the backstory on.
Right. Well, I hear it's mostly Deadshot and Harley and the gang.
Yeah.
Which, you know, given the fact of who your stars are, and in spite of the all of the critics panning this movie, it's opening Thursday night. The preview shows, according to studio estimates, $20.5 million, which the biggest opening night, the biggest preview opening night for the month of August, I guess that's ever, beating out Deadpool, and I think it beat out a couple of others. So interesting that the audience doesn't seem to be tracking with the critics, but it's going to be something to watch to see what it does week to week, because if it does the same thing that Batman vs. Superman did, I mean, Batman vs. Superman dropped 83% week one to week two. And so that's the one because Star Trek Beyond dropped 69% week one to week two, and they said that's roughly normal, because the other Kelvin Trek movies dropped about that much, 65%, 70%. But Batman vs. Superman dropped 83% from week one to week two, and a lot of that was bad press, and word of mouth killed it. And so I'm going to be curious to see how Suicide Squad fares in the second week.
So may the good word of mouth counteract the bad critics.
Assuming there's good word of mouth. Yeah, you know, it could very well be. You know, people could come out of that theater sitting there going, "Yeah, it was a mess. It's, you know, it's not. I'm not going back a second time." So it's still too early to tell.
Jai Courtney was a great Captain Boomerang.
Yeah.
And Viola Davis was legitimately terrifying as Amanda Waller.
Did she bring? She's the Wall. She brought it. Huh? Yeah.
She brought the intimidating Amanda Waller-ness to the screen.
That's good. That's good. Because the one that we had on Arrow just has never done it for me. And I can't even remember her name. She's made that much of an impression. But, you know, fortunately, she's dead. We won't have to deal with her again. But there is that. Okay, so real quick, other San Diego Comic-Con stuff. There's a ton of it to unpack, and Thomas is going to have to bail on us very soon, but I want to get his thoughts. Any particular thing coming out of San Diego that just knocked your socks off, Thomas?
All the stuff on Wonder Woman. I like that stuff.
Yeah, so we got a new trailer. We got some images.
Yeah,
the costumes are out there.
The news on Supergirl about who they picked as Superman. That was kind of a head scratcher.
We'll get into that a little bit, because I'm confused about that one. I have a theory.
He was a fan favorite on Teen Wolf.
And it fits in with the demographic of the CW.
Yeah, but
there's an echo in here.
Yeah, but the fact that he's only a year older than Melissa Benoist.
Yeah.
And the fact that he is built, he's slight of frame. His musculature, he's got a runner's build. He doesn't have a bodybuilder's build. And seeing the photograph of him next to Stephen Amell really puts that into perspective.
He's going to be a much better actor than Stephen Amell is.
Well, it's not necessarily the fact whether he's...
I don't know. I'm on bad terms with Stephen Amell. So
yeah, but it's not the fact that he's a good actor or not. He's got to look like Superman. And right now,
Yeah.
He kind of does, but he actually looks more like Superboy meeting the Legion of Superheroes.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. It's going to take some time for me to get used to it. But I have a theory about his appearance as Superman in the show. And I'll get into that a little bit later.
You don't have to deal with him for the whole season.
I know.
Well, they're going to Metropolis for part of the season, too. So.
Well, and it'll be interesting to see how all of that plays out. But we did get news that Calista Flockhart is still going to be on the show.
Yeah, semi-regular.
Reduced role. She's going to be a recurring. Thank you. My mind just went blank there for a second because I've only had 5 cups of coffee today, and that's not enough.
More coffee.
Not enough. Oh, speaking of which, we have come up with an idea. And I want to run this past you guys because we came up with this idea on H2O, and that just dropped this weekend. We're going to put together either a poster or a T-shirt that says, "If the coffee dies, we riot."
Okay.
I think it'll go over really well. Mm-hmm. Especially in Yorba Linda.
Needs artwork. Right?
I'm working on that. If the coffee dies, we riot. And that came after both Tim and I each almost toppled over our desk and knocked the coffee to the floor. It's like, no, don't kill the coffee. So anyway, but yeah, Wonder Woman trailer dropped. I think it looks great.
Fantastic.
I still
looks super.
It does. Well, and I like the fact that that there's color.
Yes.
Oh my God. The color.
I'm like, that's what that costume's supposed to look like. Okay. And the fact that the lasso is glowing, like bright glowing. Zack Snyder didn't put his hands on this very much anymore. Somebody slapped him away.
Stop turning down the colors.
I mean, it was glowing in BVS all the time, so I don't think that was his,
Jenkins probably slapped his hand away.
Yeah, but in Batman vs. Superman, the lasso didn't glow like this. I mean, in that trailer.
Okay. No.
And I still haven't. I've got to take the time to do it. I'm it's on my list. But I'm gonna take. There was a fan trailer that was put together.
The undesaturated colorized version.
No, it was a fan trailer for Wonder Woman that used a lot of footage from War Horse. And there was a fan film that was done. It was a real quick fan film with Riley Vanderbilt as Wonder Woman, fighting soldiers World War I, World War II style. And that trailer that some fan made really caught the same vibe as the official trailer. The official trailer comes out, and I'm thinking, wait a minute. This looks an awful lot like that fan trailer. So what I want to do, and in my spare time, of course, is put those two side by side and compare them and see how close the fan trailer got to the official trailer. Because the official trailer really does do a lot to establish what kind of story we're going to get. And, the fact that it's a period piece, I think it's going to play with that same Captain America vibe, only it's going to go back, because it's World War One, and World War One was
a Thor Captain America vibe.
Kinda. Because World War One was messy. It was a brutal war. And to contrast that with Wonder Woman as this Amazon warrior princess, ambassador of peace, trying to understand man's world, and you drop her into the middle of that, I think it's going to be an interesting dynamic for her character. But the Suicide Squad memes that are out this week, Suicide Squad is doing so bad, everybody's waiting for Godot. That's funny. It is. It's oh, come on. It's funny.
Yeah.
It's
funny.
Everybody got it, but nobody laughed. This is radio. They can't see you nodding. Oh yeah, that's funny. Because it's the one that I saw was the husky. You know, the husky that's in all the joke memes. It's funny.
Yeah.
All right. Never mind. Movie gone.
Big gaping smile at the end of the joke after he tells it.
All right. Moving.
Speaking
on.
Of Wonder Woman, did anybody say that the latest Steven Universe, one of the latest Steven Universe episodes, homage Wonder Woman?
No.
They had, because one of the characters has a whip as a weapon, so at one point she ties her lasso around it, and she then ties it around her leg and stands on it like they did in Batman Superman Apocalypse.
Oh, nice.
So, cool. Like, it was frame for frame an homage. It was pretty great.
That's cool.
Justice League. We got a teaser. We got a teaser, and we've got pieces of the scene between Bruce Wayne and Barry Allen.
Flash.
Where?
How long do you think Bruce Wayne was sitting in Barry's apartment? Oh,
not very long.
I say about 3 hours.
No, he wasn't there very long at all, because this is
Diana complaining the entire time. Because
this is
Bruce
what,
like, no, I have to be menacing.
No, because this is what Bruce did. Bruce tapped into all the security cameras for 3 weeks prior to that and studied every detail about coming and going and who's where and who lives where, who's in what building and who's in what room, and, you know, and then, and, you know, he's got the building specs from the city office. He's gone over every single nook and cranny. He's gone to the architects. He's gone to the construction office. He's gone to every place where he can get any kind of information on where – on this building where Flash is. He's gone through receipts. He's gone through trash. He knows exactly what time Barry Allen's going to walk in that door. And so all he's got to do is take his bat lock picks and open the door about 5 minutes ahead of time, just so he can sit down and get comfortable. And then here comes Barry Allen. And
I think it was 10 minutes. He needed time to go through the fridge.
Do you think he was debating, should I wear the bat suit? Should I not wear the bat suit?
Well, you know, that's an interesting point, because in all of the shots where Bruce Wayne is recruiting a team, and he sits there and says, "I'm recruiting superpowered team. I'm finding people with powers." He's doing it as Bruce Wayne. It's not Batman going to find these other costume people in costume.
Right, yeah.
And that looks to me like it could be a really interesting take on the whole recruiting the group, because if Bruce Wayne is putting together the Justice League, and if he's doing it in any way, shape, or form that could be considered public, does Wayne Enterprises become, is it almost like Batman Incorporated, where Bruce Wayne and his company sees a need for this team to gather and collect, and so there he's going to provide the funding and the financing for the Justice League, and it's going to be completely open and above board that he's footing the bill for it.
I hope he's providing the insurance.
I know, right? How many buildings could they bring down? And that's even before Superman comes back from the dead. I was gratified to see that scene between Bruce Wayne and Flash and Barry Allen matches the descriptions that we got from the Day 31 visit from a few weeks ago, when, you know, people like Devin Farsi and some of the others who had been really harsh critics of Batman versus Superman, they got invited to London. They said, "Look, you guys hated on the movie. You bagged on it in all of your critics, your reviews and whatnot. We want you to come out. It's Day 31. You get to see what we're doing." They got to see that scene after it was cut together. So they've seen the whole scene of that recruiting pitch between Bruce Wayne and Barry Allen. And the pieces that we saw in the teaser match the descriptions of what they say they saw. And that leaves me a little bit more optimistic, because they also described that scene between Commissioner Gordon and half of the Justice League sitting on the roof at police headquarters. This actually might be a little bit fun.
I hope so.
Isn't that scary?
I was certainly impressed with it.
Yeah, it looks good. Final.
Do you think there's going to be a drum sequence that J.K. Simmons gets to, like, interrupt?
Because
he's Commissioner Gordon.
Don't know about that. I'll be interested to see if Barbara shows up. And if she shows up, if she's going to be Oracle, or if she's going to be Batgirl, or if she's going to be retired Batgirl. Because, you know, we're past the point where...
I want either Oracle or Congresswoman Barbara.
I don't think we've had enough time for Congresswoman. Yeah. But, well, maybe. I don't know. I think it just depends. But
I mean, she was a Congresswoman back when she was Batgirl, so... In the Silver Age, at least.
Possibility. But yeah, I think if given the choice, I think we'd probably see her either as Oracle or a retired Batgirl first. Or maybe she's Batgirl on the way out, Batgirl. Maybe she's deciding to hang it up at some point, maybe.
My friends and I are also going to slip Ben Affleck $20 each and tell him it's for Cassandra Cain to be in the movie.
That would be interesting. Because, you know, any of the Bat family, if they show up. Because we're getting Maggie Sawyer in Supergirl, who's Batwoman's girlfriend.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did I see that Kate is going to show up in Supergirl? Was there a rumor that Batwoman was going to be on Supergirl at some point?
There's a rumor. That's all that it is.
I think that rumor came about because Maggie Sawyer is on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly. But that would be an interesting dynamic on that show, wouldn't it not?
Yeah.
Supergirl, of course, getting her cousin. We're going to finally see Superman in the show. And we'll get to that. We'll talk about that, because I've got a theory. But let's talk about the Flash preview. Flashpoint.
I made a joke on my blog that it's like, well, we're going to get all the Geoff Johns stories out of the way first. Because season one and season two were also based off of stories that he wrote. So,
well, you
and
know,
obviously season three is.
He is a co-creator of the show. And he is now, we'll offer our congratulations again, he is now the newly appointed president of DC Entertainment.
Yay! Grant us an interview.
Well, yes.
Not really surprising.
I actually sent him a note after the DC Films announcement, asking to see if maybe we could do some kind of an interview, and I haven't gotten anything back yet. But now he's president of DC Entertainment. So not only is he responsible for the movies as the co-producer on DC Films, but he's the head of everything that is not the publishing books. Dan DiDio and Jim Lee, still the co-publishers. They answer directly to Diane Nelson, who's president, something, 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 Warner Brothers Interactive Marketing, something, something. I mean, she's got some really long, convoluted president title thing. Mm-hmm. So they're still reporting directly to her, as is Geoff Johns as president of DC Entertainment, who's reporting to Diane Nelson, president of Warner Brothers. So he doesn't get to tell DiDio and Lee what to do yet. I'm waiting for that. But he is still chief creative officer at DC Comics.
Yeah.
And he's responsible for Rebirth, and Rebirth seems to be going really well. Issue 2 and 3 sold better than issue 1. It's picking up momentum. I think that despite Dan DiDio and Jim Lee and Bob Harris, DC Comics could be on the rebound. Maybe.
I'm really excited for this season of The Flash. Because
now, how long will this Flashpoint last? I read something that said it wouldn't last the whole season, so what is the estimate of how much of the season it will take up?
I heard about three or four episodes.
Just okay. That many? I would give it at least till I'd give it at least till episode 8, because episode 8 is the crossover episode that they always do with Arrow. And this year, given the fact that you've now got Flash, Arrow, Legends of Tomorrow, and Supergirl all on the shows, all on the network at the same time. And I think they're all going to be running at the same time. I mean, they all start in October. And Legends is not going to be a mid-season replacement this year, I don't think. So you're going to have all four of those shows. And all four of those shows will have Episode 8 running close. Episode 8, which in the last 2 years has been the crossover episode between Flash and Arrow, that would be the perfect place to cross over all four of them and fix the Flashpoint.
In a four-night crossover event.
They can, you know they're going to do it. You know they're going to do it because they're already talking about crossing over all four of the shows because now they can.
We'll be watching.
It's going to be
I thought
like,
they were going to like start out with that.
To see a four-part crossover event.
Wouldn't that be something?
That's crazy.
That would be fantastic, to quote the Ninth Doctor.
They could pull it off.
I think they could. If it was anybody other than Berlanti's crew, maybe not. But they've proven they've got the chops so far to be able to do it. Now Arrow so far, Arrow's gone off the rails. But I think Arrow is one of those where I don't want to say it's a victim of its own success, but I think at some point somebody at Warner Brothers pulled the plug on some of the stuff that they wanted to do with Arrow, because they had to kill off Deadshot, they had to kill off Amanda Waller because of the Suicide Squad movie. So suddenly all of this stuff that they had planned for Arrow now has the rug yanked out from under it and they can't do it.
Yeah, but I mean, as a writer, and especially as a TV writer, they should have had some kind of backup, because with TV especially, you never know who's going to have to, who's going to have to quit, or God forbid, die, like real life actors dying or anything. So, they should have had some kind of backup.
Well, the thing about it is, though, when you're breaking down a season of a TV show, when you're in the writer's room and you're breaking down, okay, what are we going to do this season? There is no time for a backup plan. You might have some ideas, but given the pressure of getting the scripts done and ready for production by the time the network needs the show, you're concentrating completely on the season arc as it's been broken down in the writer's room. And so you have the showrunners that are at the last minute sometimes scrambling to rewrite scripts to fit into wherever the arc has taken them, because it is organic. It does change a little bit with circumstances and whatnot. So they do have to make some minor adjustments along the way. But it was like Battlestar Galactica. When they got to New Caprica, and then we came back and New Caprica was occupied by the Cylons. After that point, the rest of the show was just nuts. And did a few things that maybe quite might not have been part of the plan to begin with. Lost is another example. Lost, it started off strong, and as they continued from season to season, it was kind of one of these things where they're like, okay, well, now what do we do? Alias. Same kind of thing. They did the time jump when they jumped ahead a year and, basically jumped the shark at the same time. You get to a point where you've played out all of these stories, and then you're all looking at each other going, okay, now what? How do we top this? What do we do next? And
we're going to have him run for mayor and let the city burn.
To be fair, that was actually a comic thing in the comics, so I kind of get the whole running for mayor thing.
Right. Yeah. I mean,
and then every season the city has to burn.
Every season. Every.
And a major female character has to die.
That's right.
Well, and maybe I'm going to just toss this out here, food for thought. Maybe Flashpoint fixes that because.
Well, I mean, Kate Cassidy has been signed up to be a main character
on all the shows, right?
Yeah. Well, not only that, you've got Katie Cassidy and John Barrowman both signed on to all four shows as a series regular.
Now, is Captain Cold in that also?
Yes. Wentworth Miller is the other one. Which means that out of 22 episodes or so, they're going to appear in a good chunk of them, 15 to 16 of them, on balance. If they're a series regular, there may be a couple of 2-3 episodes where they just pop in, they just show up, they say a couple of lines, and they go away. Or maybe they don't even show up in one or two episodes. I've been binge-watching DS9. Star Trek DS9, and there's some episodes where some of your main cast don't appear. But if they're signed on as series regulars, not recurring, but they're series regulars, that means their name is going to be in the credits when the show opens. So Stephen Amell, John Merriman, Willa Holland, Katie Cassidy, Emily Beck Rickards. I mean, all of those. Those are the series regulars for Arrow. And, you know, Melissa Benoist and Mikhail Brooks and, you know, Katie Cassidy, John Barrowman. They're going to be in that, you know, we don't have opening titles anymore, but when they start running the graphics, the credits on the stars of the show, they're series regulars, and that means, you know, traditional definition, if they go with what it normally means, it means they're in the show somehow. All four of them. Now, it could be that Katie Cassidy is going to be playing Black Siren. That's a very real possibility over on Flash.
Yeah.
And in Legends of Tomorrow, she could be Black Siren. And who knows who she's going to play on Supergirl. Maybe she's an aide to the president. Some people are hoping for that. But, you know, given the fact that when Flash crossed over with Supergirl and he's like, I'm the Flash. She's like, you're who now? And he goes, have you ever heard of anybody? You know, Green Arrow, Black Canary, any of those people? And she's like, no. Which means that Laurel Lance does not have, or Dinah Lance, as she should be called, she hasn't suited up over on Supergirl's world yet.
Yeah.
Lots of possibilities. I think Flashpoint is going to fix a lot of things.
I heard also from a friend who's actually been scarily accurate in his predictions. Like, he predicted that the Man in the Mask was Earth-3 Jay Garrick about like right after the first time we met him, so right after the first time we saw him, so that was scarily accurate. He said that they were gonna use that as a folding point to fold Supergirl's, you know, thing into the same universe as the other three shows.
Oh, so he's predicting they're gonna merge universes.
He's predicting that Flashpoint, it's gonna merge universes.
Kind of like it did in the comics.
Well, although, yeah, but Flashpoint didn't merge universes, did it? It just changed the timeline.
Well, it merged the Wildstorm and the Vertigo with the DC Comics.
Well, yeah. That's true, because it launched, yeah, because it set off New 52. But
Flashpoint wasn't exactly logic, and the comics didn't really exactly change the universe in any logical shape or form.
Wow. Like,
Crisis on Infinite Earths, that, as convoluted as that was, the whole merging of universes made sense.
Now Crisis didn't get convoluted until afterwards, when they wanted to do, because the actual Crisis itself, Now, the actual crisis itself was pretty straightforward. There were some threads at the end of it that were left dangling. I mean, they couldn't take care of every single thing. There were some leftovers on the table that they had to deal with, and when they started pulling at some of those threads and coming in with Identity Crisis and Final Crisis and 52 and all these things, then suddenly things started to unravel as they kept going, trying to fit into this new, a prime universe like they've been talking about. I don't know. I don't know that they're going to merge. Well, they could. They could very well merge all the universes, but I don't know. I don't know if that's going to happen or not. It'll be interesting to see what they do.
Do you think with the addition of the new characters in Arrow, we could possibly get another subset team that'll be like kind of the Justice Society, but they won't involve Arrow or the Flash?
I don't know, because the Justice Society is going to show up in Legends of Tomorrow, along with the Legion of Doom.
Do you think we'll get Power Girl
in
that?
I'm excited for that. Though I'm going to be sad because they're definitely not going to use the same headquarters as the original. Which okay, but still.
I want the Legion of Doom in the swamp. I want the swamp headquarters.
Exactly. Me too.
I do too.
And I want the Hall of Justice.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody give me the live action Hall of Justice. And, do it like they did in Young Justice. It's the front.
Just be the
it's
museum the public, and yeah, the face exactly, of everything.
Exactly. Because you got the Flash Museum. Let's just, give it, just go whole hog and give us the Hall of Justice.
Who knows? Maybe Zack Snyder will give us the Hall of Justice in the Justice League movie.
Could very well.
I mean, I wouldn't put it past him.
Affleck.
I mean, maybe not till the end of the movie or the second movie.
Yeah, I'd see it probably at the end of the second movie, but I'd see that more coming from Affleck than Snyder. Or Geoff Johns comes in because now he's in charge and he can sit there and say, you know what would be good is let's put the Hall of Justice in here. Get on that. Thanks. Bye. Because he can do that now.
If you could just put the Hall of Justice in there, that'd be great.
Yeah, exactly. Speaking of Justice League Dark, because we talked about this a little bit with Suicide Squad, Justice League Dark getting an animated movie with Matt Ryan coming back to reprise his role as John Constantine.
I'm just
going to say it right. John Constantine, the Hellblazer. And,
is that on his business card?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. He is... What is on his business card? Something about the dark arts.
The gambler in the dark arts.
Something like that. So Matt Ryan back as John Constantine. And notice, if you will, that all of the series from NBC, which was produced by Warner Brothers Television, so they could put it wherever they license it for distribution. But all of that show, the live-action Matt Ryan Constantine show, is on CW Seed, along with season one of Supergirl.
I've heard. Now this is like in the same rumor mill as Batwoman, so take it what you will. But I've heard that they put it on the Seed so they would see how it would do, because they wanted a supernatural show to replace Vampire Diaries, because Vampire Diaries is on its last season.
Right.
Or how about we replace Supernatural because we're on season 12 now?
No. Supernatural.
You're pushing that Supernatural aside. I mean, no, they wanted something basically to replace Vampire Diaries in the same vein.
Yeah, but Supernatural is going to be like
replacing Vampire Diaries and Supernatural, though.
Well, Supernatural and NCIS are the same kind of thing. As long as your stars are going to do it, the network will do it. You know, with NCIS, yep. It's mm-hmm. it's all Mark Harmon. As long as Mark Harmon wants to play Gibbs, CBS will put the money out and they will air NCIS until Mark Harmon dies. I mean, he will die. His last scene will be shooting a scene where he slaps somebody on the head and then he dies. That's going to be that's going to be the end of NCIS.
And then even then, they can just chop up old.
There's a meme that goes around every time Supernatural gets renewed of a gif of Bo Burnham saying, "We're going to keep beating this dead horse until it stops spitting out money."
And that's pretty much what it is. I mean, as long as Supernatural has the ratings, and as long as the actors want to keep playing those parts, as long as we still got a solid Sam and Dean, and they want to keep doing it, they're going to keep doing it. I mean, Mark Pedowitz has pretty much as much said as much. You know,
that says, show is Sam and Dean, so as long as they have Sam and Dean, they got a show.
As long as those two guys want to play those characters, then that show is on the air. And it will be one of the longest running shows on any network ever. It's already, I mean, it's, you know, 12 seasons is really, really rare. Most shows, 5, 6, 7 seasons. You know, Seinfeld went for what, 10? MASH, yeah. MASH, mm-hmm. MASH had the record for the longest time at something like 10 or 11 seasons.
I mean, 11, yeah.
It was 11? Yeah, because the Korean... The Korean.
What about Bonanza?
How long did Bonanza go?
Wasn't that 20? I mean, that was forever.
No. You're talking. No, you're thinking about Gunsmoke. Gunsmoke went for a long time. And that's another one of those things. You know, you've got the actor who wants to play the part. He's going to play the part until he's done playing the part. You know, James Arness was Matt Dillon forever. And, you know, Supernatural is going to be the same way. You're going to have, you're going to have that show. But I think it's a good point, though, that you raised, Jeff, that you know, with Vampire Diaries going away, we're still going to have the originals, but Vampire Diaries... No, I think the originals are done after this season two, aren't they?
Yep, the originals is done.
So both shows are gone. So there is room on the calendar for... Oh.
For a five-night crossover event.
You know what I need to do? I need to pull out of a drawer somewhere my pitch for Zatanna. Because here's what's going to happen. Vampire Diaries and originals go away. There's a day open, right? Constantine and Zatanna back to back.
Oh, I'd watch that.
I would watch that.
Because you have potential for crossover because they dated for a while. Plus the whole magic
and
yeah, so all of the connections that those two characters have, plus all of their affiliations that they have, plus the fact that in some versions of Zatanna, she's from Gotham City, or she at least lived in Gotham City for a while, and as such has a Gotham City connection to Black Canary, who lived in Gotham City for a while, because her dad...
No, it was her mother.
No. Her mother, Dinah Lance...
Society was in Gotham.
I know, but Lance, Detective Lance, who ended up becoming a private Detective Lance, was from the Gotham Police Department.
Oh, okay.
And
so that makes both of her parents from Gotham, actually.
Yeah, and so that whole thing there, you've got all of those connections. I'm flabbergasted why they haven't done a Zatanna series yet.
I know.
I have my pitch. I have my pitch ready to go.
I think I have one reason. People, but now that Supergirl's out, that shouldn't be much of an excuse anymore.
Well, no, because you know, Vampire Diaries ran for how long with a female lead? The originals has an ensemble with several strong female characters. You know, that's not a reason to greenlight or not greenlight anymore.
I'd say superhero wise, like there, because. I mean, but no, you're right. I didn't realize that about Vampire Diaries, especially.
We just need a girl who can speak backwards is all.
Yeah.
Well, that just takes practice. It's not like anything else, right?
Yes.
Well, given how smart DC is apparently getting, and I love their TV slate. I missed Constantine. I'm sorry I did when it was on NBC. What are its chances? I'd like to watch that. You know,
I watched it, and I mean, I caught it when I could when it was on. It shouldn't have gotten that terrible slot in the first place, but
well,
I tried, and it was really good. Like it did suffer a little bit just from, you know, first half of the season just being a first half of the first season, and the fact that their lead actress dropped out. So,
well, now what happened with that is she
it kind of had a little stumbling point there.
But. Yeah, but what happened there, and I think, and this is something that we had talked about a long time ago when the show right as it was getting canceled. One of the things that we think happened is that the early episodes that had Zed were written for the other lead character. And they weren't, mm-hmm. Because they hadn't planned on Zed being part of the first season until what's-her-name left and decided she didn't want to do this anymore, or they fired her, or whatever reason why it didn't work out, we don't have a lead actress anymore. So then they bring in Zed. Well, those first few stories, those first few episodes, they've got scripts already written for this other character. So we'll manipulate it and massage it a little bit, like we talked about here. What's our plan B? What's our fallback? But you've already got the established scripts. You do last minute panic rewrites to bring in Zed, and in the meantime, while you're shooting these scripts that are already written, and they've been bought and paid for, the writers have gotten their checks and they've put them in the bank. So you know we might as well use what we've got, and in the meantime, let's take Zed's story and start writing those scripts. And that's when the show started to really hit its stride, when they told Zed's story with Zed.
Mm-hmm.
And I personally think that Constantine's got as good a chance of renewal and pickup somehow as season 3 of Young Justice. Which means...
Okay.
Slim to
none.
It's
a very vague answer.
Slim to none. Slim to none. Unless the numbers are such on CWC that they figure out. Because you have to remember, too, with CW being a minor network, a smaller network, the expectations for performance are different. You don't have to have 17-20 million viewers in order to be a hit. You know, those days are long gone. But the eyeball networks, the standard broadcast networks, still think that way. If you've only got 10 million people looking at your TV show, like, you know, with Supergirl, 10 million, 12 million, it's not enough. It's not big enough of an audience. But over on the CW, that's massive. That's huge. So just on relative terms, the numbers that Constantine got on NBC would make it a really solid hit on the CW. So it's entirely possible that they are looking at the numbers for CWC to see how it's performing and make a decision off of that. Once Vampire Diaries and the originals are done, then you know that I think that's one of the reasons why Matt Ryan showed up on Arrow. The network is very slowly testing the waters on all of this stuff. In the meantime, Matt Ryan can be on the cartoon, and let's see how that does. And you know they're gathering their information to make a decision. And I think next season, maybe we will get a season 2 of Constantine.
Do you think that we could get Booster anytime soon in Legends of Tomorrow?
No.
Okay.
Because, and here's why.
Because of the blue and gold thing?
No, because of the movie.
Yeah.
Because the Booster Gold movie that Greg Berlanti is developing with Zach Stentz writing the script. And it's a full-blown movie. It's not a TV movie. It's not a movie of the week. It's not a couple of episodes of a show that's mashed up. It's a full-blown theatrical movie. I don't know if it's going to be at New Line or if it's going to be Warner Brothers, but it's going to, you know, it's in development somewhere. There's a script being written. for Booster Gold. Now, since Greg Berlanti is set to produce it, now people are wondering if that means the Berlantiverse, the Flaro Supergirl, Flash Arrow Supergirl universe that's on TV, could it possibly make the jump to the theaters with Booster Gold, since Greg Berlanti's in charge of all of it?
That would make a lot of continuity craziness.
Yeah.
But, you know, then again, it's a multiverse, so what do we know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of possibilities there. And we haven't even scratched the surface on all of the stuff that's been going on for all the DC stuff out of that. I mean, you know, we had Lego Batman movie dropped a trailer or a preview or something with Robin.
Did anybody see The Killing Joke?
No. Tim has seen it. Kendallson has seen it. Kendall told me, he said, I could do without the first 30 minutes. Otherwise it's pretty solid.
Because that's the first 30 minutes is the Batgirl,
that it's not that great of an adaptation to begin with, even cutting out the 30 minutes.
Well, it's kind of hard to do because
point. Like, that was also the point that they would make is,
yeah,
it's like, it's not that, you know, flexible of a, in this case, it's not that flexible of an, you know, of making an adaptation out of it.
Yeah.
I don't know. They've surprised me before with some different things, you know, how are they going to do that? And most of the time they managed to do it. But yeah, I thought going in when they announced Killing Joke was going to be an animated picture, I was like, I don't know if that's such a good idea.
Yeah.
And I've complained about this before, the fact that I can't sit and watch animated
DC stuff.
And I've
heard some very disappointed fans.
Everybody's
disappointed. Kevin Conroy fans.
Everybody's disappointed.
Did not really do very well.
Yeah, well, everybody is sitting there trashing at least the first 30 minutes of it, but the rest of it, it's The Killing Joke, and it is what it is, but, you know, that first 30 minutes just completely tosses it out the window. But... You know, I've complained before, you know, the fact that it's a rated R animated picture, I can't sit and watch DC animated pictures with my kid anymore. And that's frustrating for me. What do I know? I'm just a blogger with 10 podcasts.
Justice League versus Teen Titans was good.
It's all right. Have I told you about the new grass out on my lawn?
I've heard the stories. Yeah.
All right. See, I'm at that point now where I'm starting to repeat myself because I can't remember if I've said anything before because I'm getting old. I'm getting old here. I'm the old man in the room.
I heard that the Lego Batman trailer announcement in Hall H was pretty funny.
Yeah.
They showed some funny little clips or something.
I think Robin shows up in the new footage that's been that was released out there. I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be funny. And that's something that the DC Comics universe has been missing for a very long time, especially in movies.
Well, they've been making all these other Lego Batman movies. Like, or the Lego Justice League movies.
Right, yeah, but those have been all straight to video. But now you've got, you know, Lego Batman Darkness. No parents.
Filthy rich.
I'm super rich.
Darkness, no parents.
God helps.
Will Arnett.
I can't do that very much. I'm Batman. I really can't do that anymore. Only 5 cups of coffee today.
This is the Batman that hangs out with the Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, how fun was that? Don't knock that. Freddie Williams II drew the artwork for that, and he's from here in Kansas City. He's one of our natives. Well, as is Jason Aaron, who just won an Eisner Award for his work on a couple of what was it that he won for? I can't remember. It wasn't a Marvel title. But yeah, Jason Aaron, who's from here, still lives here. Eisner Award winner. So congratulations to him. What else we got? We've got, the
Gotham.
Gotham.
Yeah. We have Gotham.
Do we have
to do the Court of Owls?
I will say this about Gotham. It's making me legitimately, question whether I love the businessman barn owl aesthetic or the aristocratic screech owl.
Yeah, well, I mean, they are trying to do Court of Owls this time around, and I hear there's a rumor, because Ben McKenzie can't keep his mouth shut. Apparently, Jim Gordon is going to become another character from the DC Comics history.
Oh, boy.
And it's got some people speculating, because Jim Gordon was Batman in New 52 for a while. He was in the robot rabbit suit.
The robot suit. And that was a lot better than a lot of people gave that credit for.
I even said this before. Gotham is doing a Batman story with Jim Gordon as Batman. All the villains, everything. And it is such a mess. It is such a mess.
Oh, but it's fun to watch mess. Yeah. Oh, I love it.
I skipped out after three episodes because I was like,
And we have to have the storyline where she has the kid this season.
Yeah, that's got to happen.
Crazy Barbara?
Crazy Barbara. Dr. Leslie Tompkins.
Girlfriend.
Dr. Leslie Tompkins.
Oh, yeah. The baby that's Lee. Totally not dead, because I know that she just lied to him and said the baby, yeah, whatever. So...
See, I hear you guys talking, and I know your mouths are moving. I'm hearing wah, 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 wah,
wah. It's the baby that she told Jim that they lost.
See,
only because
this is a comic book.
You know that never happens.
It's
the law of inverse fertility. That's what it is.
It's a comic book death. It's a comic book death, right?
Yeah, not only that, but it's the law of inverse fertility. When someone says you lose a baby, you know it's not true, because that's what happens. Just like couples in TV that are trying to get pregnant never do, because, you know.
Well, sure, because that's drama. It makes you feel something.
I didn't know Fish Mooney was pregnant.
Oh,
I'm sitting there, and Fish Mooney's back for season three. Drew Powell has been doing some stuff.
Including singing the blues. Apparently,
I can't get into Gotham. I just can't force myself to watch Gotham anymore. I need to catch up. I know I need to catch up. I just don't want to, because it's a terrible show.
If you enjoy it as a Crazy Train, I mean, I enjoy it.
See, that's just it. I can't. Because my expectations were too high.
I hope the same thing that forgotten that happened to a Second Chance. I hope that it gets canceled, but I hope that the people playing Bruce and Selena get better jobs.
See, now that's one of the things out of this show. I can definitely agree with that, because David Mamouze has really stepped up in his performance as Bruce Wayne. It was one of the reasons why they got more Bruce Wayne in the show, is because this kid's doing such stellar work with that with that material. I mean, the material's crap, but he's chewing the scenery like nobody's business.
And Sean Pertwee's doing good as Alfred.
Yeah, Sean Pertwee's doing great. And I agree too on what's her name playing Selena Kyle, Cameron Bikendova. Great.
She's a fantastic young actress.
She is very talented, very graceful. I mean, you know, she's got a dance background. So the whole Selena Kyle cat moves and stuff just work really well. She could just really pull those off really flawlessly. And she's a dead ringer for Michelle Pfeiffer.
Mm-hmm. She really is.
I mean, she is going to break some hearts when she gets into high school, college.
Mm-hmm. Well, just when the show...
Wong, BD Wong is especially creepy as Hugo Strange.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. I'll get. Okay. There's some pieces. I'll give you pieces. But it's not as good as the sum of the parts.
We're not saying it's good. We're just saying it's crazy.
It's crazy. It's crazy fun to watch. And what's that version of hate watching where you don't hate it? You just want to see how far they can amp up the crazy past 11. And they do.
I don't know that there's a term for that.
Maybe. Okay. Here's maybe what we'll do. I got it. Here's what we'll do. We'll do a special edition of Rogues Gallery. We'll do two Rogues Galleries. All right. We'll do Rogues Gallery Prime, and we'll do West Coast Rogues Gallery, or something. East Coast Rogues Gallery, and the East Coast Rogues Gallery can talk about Gotham. And you guys go have your coffee, do your talk. No big whoop.
And we will have no listeners.
I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. And we'll have no listeners.
Given besides, that Fox keeps renewing it. Yeah. Right, well, yeah. Since Fox keeps renewing the show, somebody's watching it. I don't know why. Maybe that's it. Maybe everybody that is watching it is watching it just because they want to see how far it's going to go before it completely implodes. Well, I expect they're watching it for specific performances. I mean, Taylor.
The trailer looked good.
Robin Taylor's a great Penguin. I like Drew Powell. Drew Powell's fun as Butch.
Nice guy.
Yeah, and he is a nice guy. Some of our people have met him at Comic Cons in Dallas and here, and he's really super nice.
A listener of the Chicks.
Yeah, he Yay! Is. He is. Yeah, sometimes.
And I recommended this show to him.
I just think that Ben McKenzie is miscast as Jim Gordon. I think that was the beginning of the end for the show, because he doesn't have the mustache. I'm still wanting the mustache. He doesn't have the mustache. He's not Jim Gordon. I'm sorry.
And we're still not getting the Arrow stash either.
That's been teased. The Van Dyke beard and all of that, that's been teased because it's back in the comic books. So it's only a matter of time before the TV show follows the comics. But I've heard, circling back around to Justice League, I have heard the description of J.K. Simmons as Jim Gordon. Physically, he is spot on. The trench coat, the fedora, the mustache, the glasses, everything. He is James Gordon, as you would expect him to appear if it was a live-action version of the comic book. And I cannot wait to see
actors
it.
Who just... He's one of those actors who, like, whenever he played J. Jonah Jameson, he looked spot on.
Oh, yeah. Brilliant.
You know, he's one of those actors who can do that because, you know, he's an Oscar winner.
Yeah.
So...
Not too many of those on the DC side. Marvel's got plenty of them.
Yeah.
Right?
Their new Captain Marvel's one.
Yes. And Warner Brothers has yet to announce when their Captain Marvel is going to hit the screen. It was in development. We've got Dwayne Johnson set to play Black Adam.
Let's just ask The Rock.
That's all we know.
Let's just ask him when he'll do Shazam instead of Jumanji.
Let's get him on social media and just pound social media until he gets his answer or blocks us.
Yeah.
blocked by more celebrities than any other website. This is sci-fi for me. There's our new marketing plan
and then
right there.
Tell him not to do Jumanji. And push that back, and then...
Was in Walmart the other day with my kid. And we'll close out with this, because I think this is a rather interesting story. And not just because it's about my kid. We're in Walmart, and we walk past the toy aisles. and full shelves display of the new DC superhero girls. This is the new comic book that's out. It's all of the superheroes that are in high school. And, you know, you got Batgirl and Bumblebee and
it's an online TV show too.
Yeah, all of these animated stuff. Wonder Woman. Yeah. So we walk past these. So I pick one up. I'm taking a look. See what they are. You know. See. You know. Oh, hey, here. I've seen the comic book at Free Comic Book Day. Oh, you know, because people have been talking about the merch. Well, here it is.
Yeah.
Well, my 14-year-old son looks at it and goes, why'd they make them Barbie dolls? What do you mean? Why? What would you expect? You know, he's like, why didn't they just make them action figures? Well, because these are for girls. You know, the girl, you know, these are the ones that the girls like to play. But they're Barbie dolls.
No.
Well, they're not for you. He says, that just doesn't make any sense.
They're for little girls. Though I have watched episodes of the show just out of curiosity, and it is very, like, adorable.
Yeah.
Yay.
And that's fine, and I told him, he was like, why didn't they just make them action figures? I said, because girls don't buy the action figures. That's why Green Lantern got canceled. It's because the girls don't buy the action figures. They'll buy dolls. Now, and, you know, that's painting with a broad brush, because there are girls who buy action figures. And some of them even buy the Star Wars Black line of action figures because they're really committed collectors.
Well,
I get that.
I mean,
okay, fine.
Again, going off from the show, this is for, like, little kids.
Yeah.
So I see why they wanted Barbie dolls that are made out of softer plastic that
girls can play with.
Sure.
And
yeah. You do something like that. Well, it's like, you know, there was a line of actual Barbie dresses superhero dolls. You know, there's a Barbie Star Trek. You've got actual Ken and Barbie dressed in a Star Trek uniform. So, yeah, it's I didn't find anything. I didn't think anything wrong with it.
Jason, yeah. I think it's actually maybe a good sign that he looked at that and said, why don't they have them as action figures? So that may be kind of an optimistic sign.
Possibly.
He's looking for that.
That's a good point, and I think possibly it could be an age thing as well, because the older teenage years, you're going to be into the action figures more than the dolls. So possibly that's what could be motivating some of those comments. But I thought it was interesting. It's like, why did they make them Barbies? It's like, well. At least they're making them.
He's thinking about it.
Yeah.
At least they're making them.
Yeah.
They've made over
a billion.
Yeah. I mean, they're selling really well. They're doing pretty good, and you know, more power to them. They're finally doing something that markets to that segment of the audience that has been neglected for so long.
So more good than bad. So
more good than bad. Speaking of neglect, I have neglected my stomach. I have not had dinner yet. We have gone over an hour. We've inflicted ourselves on our audience long enough. We're over an hour here.
They've enjoyed it.
I'm sure they have. Those of you who are still listening, if you have comments or suggestions or thoughts or ideas about anything that we talk about here on Rogues Gallery, especially if you have comments you want to make on the news coming out of San Diego Comic-Con, and we will at some point be posting an article that wraps up all of this stuff, same as we did for the horror news, and we're working on one for television. We're working on one for movies. We just posted one here this week for Marvel. DC is coming, and we've got one in the pipeline for Star Wars and for Star Trek news. All of this stuff that came out of San Diego Comic-Con, we're still unpacking it. So be watching for that. But in the meantime, if you have a comment or a thought on what you think is the most important news, the news that caught your eye coming out of San Diego Comic-Con, you can send us an email, roguesgallery@scififorme.com, or you can leave us a comment. We're on all the social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Pinterest, Google+, Tumblr, YouTube, and Twitch, for those of you who are into video games. Our Pinterest, by the way, all cosplay all the time. And now, besides being on iTunes, besides being on podcast.com, all 10 of our shows, the Sci-Fi for Me Radio Network, is now available on Google Play Music. We're very excited about that. We're on Google Play now, so you can find us there as well. Don't forget to share us with your friends, inflict us on your enemies. And the plan at this point, a programming note, the plan is for us to be back to a weekly schedule when the fall season kicks off, since we're going to have so many DC shows. We'll probably, right now, we're expecting to record on Friday and post over the weekend. So give you something to look forward to, hopefully, or run away from. You never know.
And we have all been implanted with little nanite trackers that will go off if we don't.
That's right. You guys had better show up. I don't want to be the only one here on Friday night.
Wait, what?
I'll push the button. All right, that's going to do it for us. I want to thank the panel of experts here, Thomas Stanley, who had to go to work, Catherine Sanders.
Bye.
Ann Labs.
Good night.
Dave Margosian.
Hi.
And Jeff Hackworth. And
see you next time.
For all of us here at Sci-Fi for Me, I'm Jason Hunt. Thank you very much for listening. Don't forget, WorldCon is coming up in 2 weeks. We will have maybe possibly a live edition of this show there. So in the meantime, you can catch all of the latest news over at scififorme.com.
This has been a presentation of Sci-Fi for Me Radio. Copyright 2016 by Flaming Dog Media, LLC. All rights reserved. No portion of this program may be retransmitted without the express written consent of Flaming Dog Media. This is Sci-Fi for Me Radio.